A morning of today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Chavav. Today we are finishing the 17th parak of Masechet Shabbos, and we're going to be finishing up the topic of Muksa. B'ezras Hashem, we're going to begin the 18th parak a little bit later on this morning. The Mishnah yesterday introduced us to a couple of halachas. If you look at the Mishnah on Kuf Chav Hei, starts on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, goes to the top of the Amud Beis. So the Mishnah rattled off three halachas regarding Muksa and Shabbos. So two of them really having to do with Muksa. The third one, the way Rashi presents it, which we're going to speak about in just a moment, really does not seem to be much connected to Muksa, but at least the first two were connected to Muksa. The first one is you basically shelled out a melon. You're now using the shell of the melon, and you want weight in that shell because you want it to go down and submerge in the water. You're putting a stone in the shell. Is the stone now going to become part and parcel of the shell if it's tied into the shell? So the answer is yes. If it's not tied into the shell, the answer is no. And then we had a really good discussion yesterday's Gemara in terms of what does a person have to do in order to remove the muksa status of a stone. Does he need to do a maisa? Does he need to just simply have a machshava? Maybe something a little bit more in the middle. So that was the Gemara's discussion yesterday regarding the first halacha of the Mishnah. Second halacha of the Mishnah is tying a vine to a jug because you want to lower the jug into the water. So the vine in of itself, of course, would be muksa, but now that I'm tying it to the jug in order to bring the jug down into the water, so then obviously the vine now becomes a utilitarian part of the jug and you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. You've removed it from the status of muksa. The Gemara had a brief discussion on that point of the Mishnah because that part of the Mishnah seems not to be going in conjunction with the opinion of Shimon ben Gamliel. And the Gemara gave two approaches in terms of how the Mishnah could in fact be going like the Shita of Shimon ben Gamliel. And finally, with the third halacha of the Mishnah, the Pekaka Chalon, putting the shutters into the window. Okay, I say window, we all think now about pane glass, and that's a modern convention of a window. Back in the good old days, a window just simply meant that there was a hole. And if you wanted to close the hole, you'd put a shutter in there. So the Mishnah says that the Pekaka Chalon, that if you have a shutter, so you can put the shutter into the window, and it would not be a problem of bona. And this is where we're going to be transitioning now, because this last halacha, as I mentioned, at least according to Rashi, does not seem to be a function of muksa. But now we're dealing with the issue of binyan, your building. So can you put the shutter back in? So Rav Elazar says yes, but under two conditions. One, the shutter actually has to be tied up to the wall. And two, it is so connected to the wall that when you let it hang, it doesn't even hit the floor. It is what's called kasher v'talui. It's both tied and it's hanging. So Rav Elazar says under those circumstances, so then you can put it back in because you're not adding to the building. In other words, it's already part and parcel of the building and all you're doing is just putting it into place. However, according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, if you're missing either one of these two conditions, where it is either not tied or it's not hanging, so then you can't put it up into the, you can't shutter in the shutter. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, Bein kach uvein kach pokekim bo. Now, they certainly are giving an allowance, but it's not clear from the wording of the Mishnah what exactly their allowance it is that they're giving. They just simply say the words, Bein kach uvein kach. Okay, and so that opens up our discussion today, and this is where we're going to begin. So, Pekaka Chalom, we're talking about the shutter of the window. We are now on the bottom of Kuch Chafei Amud Beis. We are about seven lines from the bottom of the Amud at the two dots, and the Gemara begins the discussion. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rav Yochanan. So, in clarifying the position of the Chachamim, who are clearly being more makel than the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, so here is Rav Yochanan's opinion. Hakol Modim Shein Osim Ohel. I'm sorry, we're almost there. Meaning that's in the next sugya. Sorry. Hakol Modim Shein Osim Ohel Arai B'Tchila B'Yom Tovein Tzarech Lomar B'Shabbos. First of all, we're going to be opening up with a discussion of making an Ohel Harai, making a temporary structure, a temporary tent. So making an Ohel Harai, if you're starting from scratch, so then according to everyone, it's going to be Aser. Meaning, in our Mishnah, we have a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. Let me go in the other direction. We have a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim and the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yochanan now is clarifying, where do they agree? They agree that if I'm starting from scratch and I'm making an OL from scratch, that is going to be forbidden. It's going to be forbidden both on Yontav and on Shabbos as well. Lo nechluku ala lahosif. The only debate is as follows. I already have an OL, meaning I have an existing OL, and I'm just simply adding onto the hola, onto the OL. She Rabbi Eliezer Omer ein mosifim b'yontav ein tzarech lomar b'shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that you're not allowed to add on to the OL, neither on Yontav nor on Shabbos as well. And the Chachamim are of the opinion that once I already have the beginnings of an ohel, and all I'm doing is just simply adding to the ohel, and remember, this is an ohel arai, this is a temporary ohel, so the sheet of the Chachamim is that you could, in fact, add to an ohel arai, and it's true both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov as well. Okay. On this point of the Gemara, so let's just gather ourselves for just a moment. Let's think this through. So if I'm making a temporary structure that already now knocks me down to a Isser Derabbanan and Isser Deraisa, in order to violate the Torah on Shabbos, you have to make something of permanence. We've gone over this point numerous times. It has to be a Davar HaMekayim. It has to be something which sustains for a significant amount of time, right? For the foreseeable future. If what I'm doing is making a tent, but I know clearly that I'm going to be taking it down soon enough, so that is what's called an Ohel Arai, that would be, at worst, an Isser Derabbanan. Fine. But still, it's an Isser Derabbanan, which means it's going to be forbidden. What the debate now is amongst the Tanayim, as the Gemara here has just laid out, is that what if I already have an existing Ohel, it's an Ohel Arai, and I'm adding onto the Ohel Arai, so under those circumstances, what would the halacha be over there when I'm just adding onto an Ohel Arai? So that's the machlokus of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim of our Mishnah, where Rabbi Elazar's Machmir and the Chachamim are Meiko. Okay. That is all just the basics in terms of the construction of an Ohel Arai, temporary Ohel. In this now, let's assume like the sheet of the Chachamim, okay? And let's assume that you can be Mosif al Binyan Arai. Now here we get to a really critical machlokus between Rashi and his grandson, Rabbi Natam. Take a look at the bottom Rashi over here. Rashi writes, She'in Osin Ohel Arai, Lefros Machatzel Sadal Mechitza Sadal Kundasim Lios Tsel La Ohel Minachama. So Rashi says that now the prohibition, according to the Chachamim, is that you can't make an Ohel Arai, meaning you can't make a roof. You put down four poles and now you're putting some sort of tarp over the four poles. So Rashi says that's the prohibition of the Chachamim. Ohel is the horizontal, it's laying the roof down. Again, it's temporary, so it's like a tarp. Vidafka Gag, Rashi says that the Isser of making an Ohel Arai is only vis-a-vis the roof. Ava mechitza lav ol hi. Vishari la forsa l'tznius kedamrin be'erivin. Rashi writes, however, that in terms of making a makeshift wall, the vertical, so Rashi says there's no problem with that whatsoever because that's not the ohel. Meaning the ohel, as part of its very strict and limited definition, is only the top goes on, that goes on the top. It's only the horizontal part of it, but not the vertical, not the vertical walls. Rashi quotes Gemara in Erevin, Bov de Shmuel, Beperek Achalon, De Masnisa, Mishun, De Binyan, Kavuhu, Umechzi, Kamosif, Al Binyan. So Rashi cites a number of Gemaras that would seem to indicate that the only prohibition is limited to the tarp on the top, but not the mechitzas on the side. And Lahosif, in the next Rashi, Kigo Shahaya Machalasel, Prusa, Leen, Ukrucha, Venisha, Bar Avi, Ulamach, Reposha, Dumi, De Pekak, Kamosif, Almahu. And as far now as what you are allowed to do according to the Chachamim, if you already have some roof, right? Rashi over here does not give a halachic definition of what that means, some roof. But as long as you have some roof of this Ohel Arai, now you're just simply unfolding it and extending it more, so that would be fine. Now, here's what Rashi's doing. First of all, Rashi, first and foremost, is limiting the entire Isser of Binyan Ohel to just the roof and not the walls. That's number one. Number two, and you go back to the Mishnah, Rashi's looking at the case of the shutter. Now, before we saw Rashi, you and I thought, or at least I'll speak on behalf of myself, so I thought that the case of the shutter is basically where the shutters are shutting in the windows, meaning it's a window that's on the side of the wall. Again, window over here does not have glass and pane, but the window means a hole in the side of the wall. And when the Mishnah uses the term that we're shuttering up the shutter of the house, what it means to say is that we're taking the shutter and we're putting it on the side of the wall. Now, as we just read through Rashi, it's clear from Rashi that's not the way Rashi understands it. Because according to Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim who are debating this issue of putting in a shutter, there is no concern whatsoever, says Rashi, of putting in the vertical walls, meaning putting in the vertical walls of an Ohel Arai would be totally fine. The only consideration, the only debate in the Mishnah is, can I do it for the gag, for the roof? So the shutters over here, the way Rashi presents it, has to be the shutters in the roof, meaning that some sort of kind of skylight that's in the roof. And now the debate between the Chacham and Rebbe Elazar of the Mishnah is, can I put in those shutters? So Rebbe Elazar says no, because he said you cannot even be Mosif al Binyan Arai. And the Chachamim say, yes, it can, because you can be Mosif al Binyan Arai. That is Rashi, which now has to, by definition, reorient us in terms of what is being described in the Mishnah. Okay. On this Rashi, so you see on the side over here, there are two Tosfos Siman on Kuf Chav Hayam and Beis, and the second Tosfos is a longer one that goes into Kuf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. So Tosfos over here takes serious consideration of what Rashi says, and his grandson Rabbeinu Tam fundamentally disagrees with Rashi. And Rabbeinu Tam says it's not correct. Rabbeinu Tam says that the issue of being Mosif Al being an Arai is not just limited to the roof, but it's also including the walls as well. Rabbeinu Tam cites a Gemara. There are a couple of Gemaras out there. Rabbeinu Tam cites a Gemara in Erevin. And if you want to see, I'll just cite an excerpt from the Tosfos over here, just to give you a highlight of Tosfos's point, of Rabbeinu Tam's point. Vikasha, it's in the middle of Tosfos. Hakol Modin. It's about halfway down. Vikasha da karcha sheikh iser oel afil b'defanos. Oel, the iser of oel, even oel arise, is applicable even to the walls itself, the vertical walls. Kidisa be'ervin beperk misho tziu gabi asiyas dofin sukkah de parachasam. The Gemara in Erevin that talks about the construction of a sukkah. The sukkah is an oel arai. It's temporary. It's only going up for 7 days. The ham rabba barbachana am rabbi yochanan hakol modim shein osin oel arai b'tchila u'mishani habedofin shlishit habedofin revius. The Gemara in Erevin says, we're going to make a distinction whether or not you're putting up the third wall of the sukkah or the fourth wall of the sukkah. And the third wall of the sukkah is going to be an iser, and the fourth wall of the sukkah would be fine. What's the difference between the third wall and the fourth wall? Elanir le Rabbi Nutam de Shapir Shech b'defanos ol hecha de mechitza mo'elos leheter. So if the wall that you're constructing, the vertical wall you're constructing, is going to be halachically significant. And of course, by a sukkah, that's true by the third wall, because the sukkah needs three walls. The beginning of the Masechta, the first and quite frankly second parak of sukkah, deal with the construction of the sukkah. But we all know the most basic halacha is that a sukkah needs three walls. That third wall does not have to be a full wall. But okay, when we get to Masechta Sukkah, we'll discuss in more detail. But nevertheless, he needs a third wall. So when constructing the third wall, now the sukkah is an oel arai, but still the Gemara over there says that you can't do that. Why? Rabbeinu Tam explains, because that's halachically significant, and you cannot do that. That's going to be what is constructing and making it a halachic sukkah. Chashiv asiyas oel b'tchila. That's considered also part of making the oel. Avadofen revius. But when it comes to the fourth wall, eina ella tosefes ba'ama. Now your sukkah doesn't need a fourth wall. You're certainly entitled to put a fourth wall up there, and if you want more privacy, you'll put up the fourth wall over there. But it does not have any halachic consideration. Hol ukvar hasukkah hisak shir. The sukkah was already kosher. So fine. So Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara seems to be very clear, like Rabbeinu Tam, that if what you're constructing on the vertical side is going to be halachically significant, that too is also going to be an iser of making an oel arai. So you have over here a very basic machlokus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. What is included in this Isser de Rabbanan of making an Oel Arai, Bitchila, in other words, making it from scratch. So according to Rashi, it's only with the roof, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's also going to be true with the verticals, assuming that the vertical is halachically significant, like in the case of the sukkah, like by the third wall of the sukkah, not by the fourth wall of the sukkah. Fourth wall of the sukkah is only a issue of tznius. That is a very basic machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The Shulchan Aruch does favor Rabbeinu Tam's position, not Rashi's position. And so therefore, making a wall, a mechitza, literally a mechitza, is going to have a halachic consideration. Meaning, like Rabbeinu Tam says, making the third wall is going to be aser. And then there's a litany of discussions to be had after that, but well beyond the purview of the daf, in terms of putting up other mechitzas on Shabbos, where according to Rabbeinu Tam, if it has halachic significance, you're not allowed to do that. And then the question becomes, when does it have halachic significance? Okay, that brings us now to our next topic of discussion. And we're still staying on the pekak, we're still staying on the shutter. And now I can properly introduce it. I introduced it just a little bit ahead. I was a little bit ahead of myself, but now we can properly introduce it. Look, we know that Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to put in the shutter. That's clear, unless two criteria are met. Number one, it has to be tied to the wall. Number two, it has to be tied so taut that when it is not shuttered in, it's still hanging off the wall. Okay, I just explained it like Rabbeinu Tam, not like Rashi. Okay, anyway, so it's hanging off the wall. However, if you're missing either one of those two, so then you cannot shutter it in according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Fine. Now, what about within the Shita of the Chachamim? The Chachamim are more Mekel. That part's clear. After that, we lose our clarity. Because the Chachamim's language of the Mishnah is Ben Kach Uvein Kach Pokekimbo. Right? It doesn't matter if this or this, so then you could shutter it in. So we know they're more Mekel. To what degree are they more Mekel? So my Ben Kach Uvein Kach, so Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Kahana, Ben Kashur, Ben She'enu Kashur. V'hu Shemesukan. So, according to Rabbi Abba, in the name of Kahana, it means to say that whether it's tied or whether it's not tied, as long as you basically set it aside as a shutter. Meaning, what do the Chachamim require? The answer is neither. They don't require it to be tied to the wall, nor do they require it to be suspended. Meaning, it doesn't even have to be tied up. So their heter is that you don't even need kshira, you don't even need to be tied up. Meaning, the shutter could be resting on the ground, totally untethered to the wall, and according to the sheet of the Chachamim, that would be sufficient. As long as you set it aside, right? The word mesukan, right? In other words, from yesterday already, this was already established to be the shutter to the house, so then you're allowed to put it in. Good. That is Rav Kahana's understanding of the Chachamim, which obviously represents a tremendous kula, meaning how far away are we now from Rabbi Eliezer to the Chachamim? There's a lot of real estate between the two of them. Pun intended. There's a lot of real estate, meaning according to Rabbi Eliezer, I need it to be tied and I need to be suspended. According to the Chachamim, now it doesn't even need to be tied. So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya, V'lei Mamar Bein Talu V'Bein Shein Talu V'Hu Shekasher. So Rabbi Yirmiya says to Rav Kahana, I don't think that's necessary. I think you are going way too far in your understanding of the Shita of the Chachamim, meaning that the Chachamim are arguing with Rabbi Elazar and they're being Mekel, but maybe the Kula goes like this. Rabbi Elazar says it has to be tied and taught, and the Chachamim says it just simply has to be tied. But it doesn't have to be taught, meaning that if you were to take the shutter off, it's still tied to the wall, but it basically rests on the ground. The string is so loose that it rests on the ground. But it has to be kashur, but it has to be tied up. Maybe that's the sheet of the Chachamim, and you don't have to move the Chachamim so far away from Rebbe Lazar, and you don't have to be so makel within the sheet of the Chachamim. Now, Rav Yirmiya would say, now how would I arrive at that conclusion? And here the Gemara is going to get a little bit complicated. We're just simply going to have to follow now the Shitas, but basically what Rav Yirmiya is going to do is he's going to show us a number of brisas, and we're going to be looking at the various Shitas on the brisas, and if we get good clarity on the various Shitas of the brisa, we're going to see that there is a Shita that aligns with this position that we just laid out, that it has to be tied, it just simply doesn't have to be taught. And when we see all the brisas lined up, we're going to see that there is a position that aligns with this position. And so what he's basically, Rav Yirmiya's criticism of Rav Kahana is that Rav Kahana went too far, meaning the Chachamim still required to be tied up, it just doesn't have to be taught. As opposed to Rav Kahana, who said, it doesn't have to be taught, it doesn't even have to be tied. And so, here we go now, putting together a number of brisas. The Amar Rabba Barachan Amar Rav Yochan Kamachlokas Kan Kamachlokas Benagar HaNigrar. So, we're going to align two debates. The one that we're learning right over here in terms of putting up the shutter, and there's another debate regarding the bolt of the door, right? The Nagar HaNigrar. Nagar is a bolt that's added to the door. Now, when we talk about a bolt, so the way Rashi describes it over here, and hopefully I'm doing a good job in terms of both understanding Rashi and seeing Rashi. Rashi does not give a picture. But basically, in order to bolt the door, so they have like a little hole right at the threshold of the door. And what you're going to do now, is you're going to take any very tough instrument, cylindrical. You're putting it down into the bolt, and it's going to hold the door from opening up. Okay, so it's a bolt that's going into the threshold. So, am I allowed to put it in? Ditnan and Rashi over here. Sorry, okay, we'll get to Rashi in just a moment. Ditnan, let's first see the Mishnah inside. This is the Mishnah in Erevin. It's towards the end of Maseches Erevin. Nagar Nigrar no Alam Bo BeMitzvah Shevelo BeMedina. So if I have now the bolt, now it's Nigrar. Nigrar over here means that it is dragging. Now let's take a look at Rashi together. Nagar Nigrar Yaseh Shetokin Bechur SheBeMiftan VeNo Alam Bo Esadela. So like I described, there's some hole in the threshold of the doorway, and now you're putting the bolt in the doorway. Nigrar. Now what does that mean? Nigrar Rashi Kid Mefarish SheKashur BeDelas El Sherosha Nigrar LaAretz. So it's tied to the door. It's tied to the door frame. Okay, so this bolt over here, you just simply didn't take it out of your closet and put it over there. It's already tied to the door frame. So that was what it means when it says nigran. It's dragging. Dragging means that's tied up to the door frame. So in the base of Mikdash, you're allowed to lock it in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning if this was a doorway in the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to lock it. Avalo b'medina, but you cannot do this out b'medina, anywhere outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash. V'hamunach, now if it is not tied up, meaning you just simply got it from the closet, so kan v'kan usr, it's going to be usr in both circumstances. Okay, so this is now the anonymous first position of this braisa. A couple of the really important Rashis over here that we're going to see together inside. Rashi, no'alim bo b'mikdash. So you're allowed to use in the base of mikdash. Rashi writes, kevin d'kashur bo miyuchad v'omed hu l'kach. So because it's tied up, so now it's clearly set aside as already a bolt for the door. Ukvar nivne binyan zemi ba'o yom. So now the building has already been built. And when we say the building, we mean including the bolt as well. The ein bo ela gzeres shvus midivrehem. And what are we looking at over here, says Rashi? We're looking now in Nisr D'Rabbanan, Vein Shvus B'Mikdash. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Shvus. Now, just a couple of days ago, we touched on this issue really quickly in terms of there's no Shvus B'Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos on Kuf Chav Gimel Mibes says that's not an absolute truism. There are some times when there is an Nisr D'Rabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash. You could see that already three Dapim ago in Kuf Chav Gimel Mibes. But anyway, we all know the general rule. The general rule is Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. So if the bolt is tied to the doorpost, so then you're allowed to put the bolt in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Issur D'Rabbanan. However, Hamunach, next Rashi, if it's Enu Kasher Klal, but if it's not tied at all to the doorpost, if it's not tied to the threshold, Elokishu Shomtom Menachur Menicho Agabe Karka, just simply lying on the ground, Hilkach Kishatoko B'Shabbos Bonehu. So the way Rashi describes this first opinion in this Mishnah Nerevin is that it is a violation of the Issur D'Araisa of Binyan. Nisr D'Araisa, he off the Mikdash. And you can't violate Nisr D'Araisa in the base of Mikdash. The only thing where there is an allowance is only if it's in Nisr D'Rabbanan. Fine. So according to the Shita of this Tanakama of this mission, Erevin, so if it's dragging, meaning if it's tied up, so you are, let's focus on outside the area of the base of Mikdash. If it's dragging, you are, in fact, not allowed to put it in, but as in Nisr D'Rabbanan, you're not allowed to put it in. And if it were disconnected, so then one would be looking at Issur D'Araisa to put it in. That is the Shita of the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda drops down a level. Back to the Mishan Erevin. Rav Yehuda Omer, Hamunach Mutar B'Mikdash V'Anigra B'Medina. So if it is Munach in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not Issur D'Araisa, it'd be only Issur D'Rabbanan. In the Beis HaMikdash, we could be Megal. And Hanigra B'Medina. And the if it's in outside of the base of Mikdash, so it has to be tied up. Meaning that if it's not tied up, it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, but if it's tied to the threshold, so then it would be mutter even outside of the Medina. Okay, so what do we have over here? A Mishan Erevin, which brings down the Machlokas in terms of the bolt. It is somewhat similar to our discussion. We're talking here about a shutter. The Gemara is going to assume that there is basically the same guiding principles in terms of putting in the shutter and putting the bolt in the door. Okay, so far we have that Mishnah Erevin with two positions in that Mishnah Erevin. Vitanya, on that Mishnah, now we have a following braisa. Ezu Nagar Negrosh Nolan Bo B'Mikdash Avalo B'Medina. So now, in terms of the bolt, where you are allowed to do in the base of Mikdash, but not outside the base of Mikdash. So what is the definition of it? Kol Shekashur V'Talui V'Rosho Magia La'aretz. So it has to be tied, and it has to be taut. It's suspended. Now, if this is where I kind of losing it just a little bit. If it is connected to the bottom threshold of the doorway, so it's kind of hard to understand how it's taut. Meaning, once you undo it, it's going to be on the ground. Unlike the shutter, where if it's tied and taut, so then you could just simply take the shutter out and it'll be hanging to the side. Okay, so it gets a little bit tricky at this point in time. But anyway, I'll say it nice and simple. If it's kashur v'talui, if it is hanging and it's taut, so v'rosha magila aretz, and the head of it now is on the ground, so that is considered where it's going to be mutter. Rav Yehuda omer zeh af medina mutter. And Rav Yehuda says, no, then outside that would be mutter legamre. Ela ezu shebe medina asur kol she'eno lo kashur v'lo talui v'sham to manicha b'karen zavis. When outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash is going to be asur, meaning for the rest of us, when is it going to be asur? If it is none of the above, it's not tied and it's not taut, and it's just simply lying on the ground. Under those circumstances, there would be an Issur D'Rabbanan to go ahead and to take it and to put it into the doorway. So the Amrei, so far, we have now a Braisa clearly explaining in more detail the times where the Tanakhama requires what the criteria would be in order to be able to use the bolt, and she does Rav Yehuda in terms of when you're able to use the bolt. And again, just to quickly summarize now the Mishnah and the Braisa, according to the Tanakhama, when can I use a bolt? Only when it's both tied and taut. According to Shitas Rav Yehuda, when can I use the bolt? When it's tied, it doesn't have to be taught. Fine. V'amar Rav Yehoshua bar Abba mishmei de'ula. And the following now was said in the name of Ula, Mantana Nagar Nigrar, Rebbe Lazerhi. That first position in the Mishan Erevin, which is anonymous in the Mishan Erevin, and explained better by the Braisa, that is Shitas Rebbe Elazar. That's what we have as a tradition in the name of Ula. Now, when you put all that information together, what do you have? So now that Mishan Erevin, which the Gemara assumes is parallel to our discussion over here regarding the Shudder, here's where we land. We land on the fact that, according to the Tanakhama, which we've now identified as Rabbi Eliezer, in order to be able to use the bolt on the door, so it has to be both Kashur V'Talui. It has to be tied and taut. Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Yehuda over there, it has to be tied, just simply not taut. Okay, that's what we got together from that Mishnah and the Braisa. And so now, what do we see? We see together now that there are basically two positions. Either Shitas Rebbe Elazar has to be tied and taut, and then the dissenting viewpoint is, in the Mishnah it's Rebbe Yehuda, but we're going to assume now that that's the Chachamim of our Mishnah, and that is the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda. It has to be tied, but it doesn't have to be taught. Oh. But what we've just learned together is that the Shita of the Chachamim of our Mishnah, which the Gemara assumes is running parallel to the Mishnah in Erevin, is teaching us that in order to use the Shudder, it has to be tied. It just doesn't have to be taught. And this is all now going to be a support of Rav Yirmiyah. Because now Rav Yirmiyah is telling us that the Chachamim's viewpoint on our Mishnah has to be running parallel with that Mishnah Erevin, and we've just discovered that the Mishnah Erevin, even the more lenient position, still requires it to be tied, although it doesn't have to be taught. And this now is going to lend a tremendous support to Rav Yirmiyah, that when the Chachamim are being more makel, they're not being as makel as Rav Kahana suggested. Rav Kahana said it doesn't even have to be tied. And now Rav Yirmiyah says that's not true. We just went through the Mishnah and Erevin, we just went through the Braisa, and we have a tradition that the Tanakhama of that Mishnah and Erevin is Rabbi Eliezer. And so now we see that the Chachamim who are disputing Rabbi Eliezer says that it has to be tied, it just doesn't have to be taught. This all now is a proof for Rabbi Yirmiyah that the Chachamim only allow it, only if it's tied, not like Rav Kahana. So Amar Leiser, Rav Kahana says back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ana Darmi Ki Aitana. So Rav Kahana says, look, your argument has been very wonderful. It's been really good. I happen to have another braisa. Detanya, and so here now we introduce ourselves to another braisa on this topic. Kanashit kinaber balabaisios posech v'no elbo bismacha kashur v'talui bepesach posech v'no elbo ain kashur v'talui ain posech v'no elbo. So according to the Tanakhama of this braisa, if you have, let's say, a reed, it's more than a reed. It's an actual stick that you're going to use to lock the door. So if it's tied and it's taut, so then you're allowed to use it. If it's not tied and taut, you're not allowed to use it. Okay, good. That's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Good. It's the second part of the Braisa that we're interested in right now. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Mesukan Afa Pisheno Kashur. The Braisa says that all the stick has to be is just simply set aside for this purpose. It doesn't have to be tied and it certainly doesn't have to be taut. As long as it is just simply designated for that purpose, it's enough to use as a bolt for the door. So what we have over here clearly is the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who gives an allowance for using the bolt, even though it's not tied, even though it's not taught. And what Rav Kahana now is arguing is that that, in fact, is also the Shita of the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Oh, okay. So, when all said and done, we know Rabbi Elazar's Shita. That's very clear. In order to be able to use the shutters to shutter in the window, or to be able to use the bolt to bolt in the door, so the only way it's not going to be a violation of binyan, not on a Torah level, not on a Rabban level, is that you need two conditions. It needs to be tied and taught. That's Shita's Rabbi Eliezer. That part there's no room for negotiation over there. However, the Shita's HaChachamim mentioned in our Mishnah that they're being makel, so how far are they being makel? So we just learned together, Machlokas Amaraim, how far they're going to be makel. According to the Shita Rav Kahana, they're being totally makel. Supported by a braisa that we just learned together on the bottom of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, that they're going to be so makel that they don't have any requirement neither be tied nor be taught. The only requirement they do have is that it has to be set aside for Shabbos for this purpose. After that, though, you can go ahead and you can use it. You can put it. You can put the shutter in the window. You can put the bolt in the door. That is Rav Kahana's understanding of the Shita of the Chachamim. On the other hand, we also have Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya says no. In order for the Chachamim to use this shutter or to use the bolt, it has to be tied. It just doesn't have to be taught. That's the only way that they are departing from the position of the of Rabbi Eliezer, that it doesn't have to be talui. It just simply has to be kashur. And again, he has a Mishnah Erevin with the Braisa that supports his position. So there are two ways to understand the Shita of the Chachamim. Where does the Halacha go? So that's the next part of the Gemara. We continue. We're on the bottom of Kuch Chavav Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shilas, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha K'Rishim Ben Gamliel. The Halacha, in fact, follows like Rishim Ben Gamliel, that to put the bolt in the door, and presumably the same thing is true regarding the shutter as well. So it has to be just simply set aside for Shabbos. But it doesn't have to be tied to the door. Doesn't have to be tied to the wall. It just simply has to be set aside for Shabbos. Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. Now the Gemara says, now Rav Yochanan, did he really say this? Vatanan. What about the following Mishnah? Now, we're going to see this Mishnah together in Amud Beis. This is going to be the last Mishnah, the 17th Perek of Shabbos, and we're about to see it in a couple minutes from now. But anyway, if you sneak preview, and obviously it is relevant to our discussion, Kol Kisuya Kalim, when we talk about covers for a Kli, Sheesh Lam Beis Achiz and Nitalim B'Shabbos. So if it has a handle, so then you're allowed to use it on Shabbos, meaning it now is considered functional, and you are allowed to pick it up and move it wherever you want to. That's the Mishnah. V'amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, V'hu Sheish Toras Kli Aleihem. Now that's true, but only if it has Toras Kli. What does that mean, Toras Kli? Take a look at Rashi on the top. Sheakisu Yirai L'Tashmish Atzmohu, Dilin Talm B'Shabbos. So it has to have an independent usage, meaning that the Kli is going to serve for you a particular function going into that Shabbos. And so what you see over here is that in order to be able to use a lid of a pot, it has to have a handle, and it has to have some sort of functional use. And the Gemara seems to suggest now that that would be a problem with our door stopper, and presumably the shutter as well. But right now, let's just focus on the door stopper. So the Gemara says, now, what do you want to tell me, that when in the case of the door stopper, it has a Torah's Kli, it's got this designation of being a Kli? The Gemara says, Umi by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Toras Kli Alav. So the Gemara says, I don't think Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has this requirement of Toras Kli. I don't think he feels that it has to have an independent status. And how do I know that? About Tanya, because let's go over Braisa. It happens to be that we saw this Braisa in yesterday's daf, and now we get to review the Braisa again. Chariyo Shodekel, I got these thick palm branches or these logs of the palm tree. Shigadron l'shem etim. Now, my original intent when I cut it down is that I wanted to use it for fuel for the fire, which obviously means they're muksa. V'nimlech aleim liyeshiva. And then before Shabbos, we make a decision, and we say, you know what? Right now, we're going to have to use these as makeshift chairs. And so now you want to reassign them before Shabbos, and you want to now make them into chairs. So what do you have to do? Tzarech l'kasher. So you have to tie it up, meaning you have to fashion it in a way where it's clearly showing that you are reassigning it. You have to do a maisa. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer and Tzarech l'kasher. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that you don't need to tie it up. Just simply your mental designation that you're reassigning it from being firewood to now being a chair, that's enough. As long as you mentally designate it, that would be sufficient. Now it's clear that the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is that you don't need Toras Kli. In other words, in order for something to be a non-muksa item, it doesn't have to have this requirement of Toras Kli. So what the Gemara now is bothered by is we are a little bit stuck between Rav Yochanan regarding the Shita of Shimon Gamliel regarding the bolt to the door, where there Rav Shimon Gamliel's position is I don't need to have Toras Kli, and meanwhile in the Mishnah regarding the lids of the pot, Rabbi Yochanan says yes, the lids are not muksa, but only if it has this status of being of having a Toras Kli. So the Gemara now is a little bit stuck within the Shita of Rav Yochanan, but the Gemara says, but you don't have to be stuck. Rav Yochanan sphere le kavasa bechado palagala bechado. So the Gemara says that Rav Yochanan, as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, so he is partially on board with Rav Shimon Gamliel, not fully on board with Rav Shimon Gamliel, meaning that regarding the bolt to the door, in order to put the bolt into the door, it doesn't have to be tied, doesn't have to be taught. In that regard, he is in agreement with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Vis-a-vis this requirement of having Toras Kli, of having a designation of this item being a Kli, so he has this designation. It's true Rabbi Shimon Gamliel does not have this requirement, but the position of Rav Yochanan is he does have this requirement. So this bolt has to be designed as a kli, as a serviceable kli, then and only then can it be used in the bolt in the door. It's true Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't have this requirement, but fine. Rav Yochanan on this point disagrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel. There are other Tanaim. In fact, we just saw the Braisa together. There's a Tanakama that says that you have to tie it up together. So clearly the Tanakama requires a Maisa, and Rav Shimon Gamliel also requires a Maisa as well. So that means to say that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you can't on Shabbos just pick up any bolt from any that was just simply lying around and putting in the bolt. And it has to be something that was serviced and serviceable earlier. Then and only then can I use the bolt. It has to have Torah's Kli. Fine. Darish Rav Yitzchak Nafka Pizcha Deresh Galusa Halacha Karebi Eliezer. Rav Yitzchak goes and he broadcasts to everybody that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer, which means to say that the only way that we could use the shutter or the bolt is only if it's kashur v'talui, only if it's tied and it's taut. So Mezer Rav Amram Midivrem Lamana Shapokim Modim Mekoshim B'Shabbes. So the Gemara says we're going to see a Mishnah. This Mishnah is pretty much at the end of the Masechta, and without getting through all the details of this Mishnah, we will see it in Yirtzeh Hashem about a month from now. So this Mishnah over here lays down that one is allowed to put the shutter in, one is allowed to measure, and one is allowed to tie. Again, all the details of this Mishnah we're going to discuss in much greater detail at the end of the Masechta. Right now, let's just focus on the first act that is allowed, and that is pokikin, meaning that there was a Maisa Shahaya, there was an incident that occurred, and there was an allowance over there to put in the shutter, and even though it was not tied. And so what you see over there is that Mishnah, Maisa Rav. It actually was an incident where they were makel and it wasn't tied and taught. So Amale Abai Mai Deitech Mishim Dekani Stama Nagar Negar Nami Stamahi. So Abai says, okay, so there's a Mishnah at the end of the Masechet Shabbos. And okay, let's say it's a Stam Mishnah. It's an anonymous Mishnah. That Mishnah in Erevin, also Stam Mishnah. And so, and the Mishnah in Erevin is in fact electing to go with the position Rabbi Eliezer. So good, so there's a Mishnah in Shabbos, there's also a Mishnah in Erevin. And so what makes you favor one over the other? So the Gemara says, V'afilo ha'chim ha'chim ha'yserav. The Mishnah here in Shabbos is better. Better because it was an actual incident. It was ma'yserav. So at the end of the Masechta, we're going to see together that there was an actual episode that occurred. And under those circumstances, the Chachamim were makel. And so that anonymous Mishnah is actually going to be favored over the Mishnah Erevin because it includes with it, you saw that there was an actual halachic shayla and a response to that halachic shayla. And that's why it is a more authoritative Mishnah. That's why we're going to go with that Mishnah. So within now, the machlokas Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, whether or not the shutter can be put into the wall on Shabbos, whether the bolt can go into the door on Shabbos. So we have a machlokas between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Rav Elazar says that's a bikasher v'talui. The Chachamim say it does not need to be both kasher v'talui. How makel are the Chachamim going to be? So we already saw the machlokas amongst the Amoraim on that issue. We're going to go with the even more lenient position of Rav Kahana, which was supported by Rav Yochanan. We saw in the bottom of the Amud Aleph that says that it doesn't have to be tied. It doesn't have to be. It certainly doesn't have to be taught. It doesn't even have to be tied. So that is the shita of Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara wants to know how come Rav Yochanan went with the shita of the Chachamim and also on top of that his lenient understanding of the Chachamim. So as far as the lenient understanding of the Chachamim is concerned, because we have a Braisa that records Rav Shimon Gamliel who says it doesn't have to be kasher v'talui. It's fine. In terms of why he favors the shita of the Chachamim over Rabbi Eliezer, because there is a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer and Erevin, the Stam Mishnah here in Shabbos is better because it's Maisa Rav. Ad Khan, that takes us through the end of the first sugya of this morning. Next sugya, Kisui Kalim. Now this Mishnah already we saw, we had a preview to this Mishnah. Kisui Kalim, Sheishlem Beis Achiza, Nitalim B'Shabbos. So if I have a lid to a pot, as long as it has a handle, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. I'm Rav Yossi Ben Medvar, Mamorim B'Kisa Karkos. That is only if the lid is used for the ground. Meaning, what did you do? You dug into the ground. So basically, in the ground, you now have a makeshift pot. Okay, I'm sure you lined the ground with something, so you're not cooking mamish in the dirt, but nevertheless, it's subterranean. It's in the ground. Aval b'kisu akelim, however, if we're talking about the lid of a regular pot, when you and I would describe a pot, so ben kach nitalim b'shabbos, it doesn't have to have a lid on it. It's sufficient that it's just simply a lid for the pot, and it's not going to have a muksa concern. I'm Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan, v'usheish Torah kli aleihem. And now the modification of Rav Yochanan, we've heard this already, but now we're seeing it commented on the Mishnah. And Rav Yochanan says that the only way that the lid is going to be a non-muksa item is only if it was established before Shabbos that it was servicing the pot, meaning it was already designated as a lid to this particular pot. So, only under those circumstances are you allowed to move the lid of the pot. If it's a regular pot, the lid doesn't need a handle, but it has to be something which was designated before Shabbos as the lid to this pot. Now, the Gemara here wants to shape the machlokas of our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we had a debate in terms of Rav Yossi and the Tanakhama. So Rav Yossi says that the only time he needs a lid is only if the lid is servicing a hole in the ground. And now the Gemara is shaping the machlokas. Everyone's of the opinion that kisui karkaosim yesh lam beis achiza in ilolo, that if the lid is now on top of the ground, meaning you dug a hole in the ground and you're basically cooking in that hole, and the lid is on top, the lid only will be a non-muksa lid, only with a handle. And there is no debate about that in the Mishnah. I know when you read the Mishnah, it doesn't seem that way. But the way the Gemara is now clarifying is there's no debate in the Mishnah on that point. And kisu akel mafagav de'elam beis achiza. And if it's a regular pot that you take out of your drawer and you put it in, and you're putting on your stove, everyone's in agreement that in that case over there, the lid doesn't need a handle. And it would be a non-muksa item even without a handle, and everyone's in agreement about that as well. So we're really now shaping the machlokas where we have mostly agreement. Where's the point of disagreement? So let's say what you did is the following. Let's say you dug a hole in the ground and you inserted a pot in the ground. And the Gemara also describes how you're being mechaber. So somehow you cemented the pot into the ground. So now it is a pot recessed into the ground and also cemented in there as well. Mansav gazrina, mansav lo gazrina. And so over here now, how confused are people going to be? Meaning, if we now have a lid to a pot, but the pot now is submerged in the ground and also cemented over there, so when people see that, people will think to themselves, oh, so anytime I'm having a lid that is put over the ground, so it doesn't need a handle. Oh, so that's now the machlokas in the Mishnah between the Chacham and Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi's worried that people are going to get confused between this and Stam, a lid over a hole in the ground. And so therefore the Rav Yossi feels that Gzera should be made. Mashi Inkin, according to the Chachamim, no. If the pot was submerged in the ground, so people will see that it's a pot and there's no need to make a Gzera. And so this lid doesn't need a handle. If it's a lid that goes directly over the ground, that does need a handle. And the Chachamim feel that there's no Gzera necessary. That is the Gemara's modification, limitation of the Machlokis in the Mishnah. Lishna Achrina, the Gemara says it over in a slightly different language. Kiplig Bikisui Tanur. We're talking about a lid of an oven. Mar Medami La Lekisui Karka, Mar Medami La Lekisui Kalim. And what is this more comparable to? Is this comparable to the cover of the ground, meaning where I'm digging a hole in the ground and I'm putting the cover in, where according to everybody that for sure needs a lid? Or is it more comparable to Kisui Kalim? Or is this more comparable to the covering of a Kalim, where there I certainly don't need the lid to have a handle on top of it. And so when I'm putting a lid to the oven, do we treat it more like the ground or do we treat it more like a regular pot? Now, you remember one day ago, right, in yesterday's Daf Kuf Chavei Amud Aleph, so you remember the Eidus that was given by Reb Yossi in the name of Elazar ben Yaakov, he says that the Kisui does not need a Beis Yad, meaning that clearly he's of the position that the lid of an oven does not require a handle. And the Gemara points out that in the ovens that were used in Masa Mechasya, so their lids didn't have a handle, and they're because it's going like the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So second day in a row now we're discussing the lids of an oven, do they need a handle? Do they not need a handle? So according to the second version of our Gemara, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas tanayim. Okay, and it could very well be that the Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is cited as siding with the more lenient side that does not need a handle. Okay, Hajan Alach. And that is the end of the 17th parak. And now we begin this morning the 18th parak of the Masechta. And now let's just take a step backwards for just a moment. And now let's just take a much larger look at our Masechta in terms of the direction we're headed. Once we opened up with the 7th parak of the Masechta that takes us some time ago, that was at the end of the Samechs. right? All the way back to Samach Ches, actually Samach Zayin Amud Beis. So then when we opened up with the seventh parak, we introduced ourselves to all the malachas on Shabbos. And then, running from Prakim 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, I'm simplifying. So we dealt with the malacha of Hotza'ah, from carrying from one rishus to another rishus. So those were those five prakim. Again, that's an oversimplification, but it's fine. And then prakim's numbers 12, 13, 14, and 15 all took us through the other malachas on Shabbos, making comments on all the other malachas on Shabbos. We gained a somewhat better understanding of not all the other malachas, but many of the other malachas on Shabbos. Then the 16th parak of Shabbos. Now we started with some of the rabbinic concerns. The 16th parak of Shabbos dealt with what happens when a person's house is on fire and what is he allowed to salvage from that house. And because the Chachamim were worried that he's going to put out the house, so a rabbinic concern not to take everything out of the house, and what exactly is a person limited to taking out of his house on Shabbos. So that was the 16th parak. The 17th parak was dedicated to Muksa, another Isser Darabanan. Okay. And now here in the 18th parak, so you could see now we went from Malachas Daraisos, Hotzah and the other Malachos. We went to Prakim 16, 17, Isuri Darabanan. And now in this parak, so it is also an Isser Darabanan, but what's called Tircha Yisera, meaning that it is the Chachamim wanted to abstain from certain activities on Shabbos, not because one's not violating a Isser Daraisa, and nor is it I would call it a formal Isser Darabanan. It's just simply too much exertion on Shabbos. The Shabbos is supposed to be a day of rest. And so it's hard to legislate rest, meaning you're walking to shul, you're walking home from shul, you're walking to shir, you're walking home from shir. So it's a little bit difficult to really put your finger on what is rest. However, the Chachamim are going to be giving, now I'm going to call them guidelines, but they're more than guidelines, obviously, meaning once a Chachamim put in these guidelines, so now they fall under the category of Isser, but in terms of what is motivating them, is basically the Chachamim don't want us to put in too much exertion on Shabbos. Let's call it unnecessary exertion on Shabbos. This just falls under the category of Tircha Yisera. And here, in this category of Tircha Yisera, obviously it's not going to be easy to always quantify and qualify what is Tircha Yisera. But in the Mishnah and in the Gemara that's upcoming in this parak, in this short parak, so we're going to get a little bit of a sense of what is Tircha Yisera, and by which we obviously now have to follow the guidelines in terms of committing ourselves to not being involved in too much exertion on Shabbos, as we're going to learn together in the Mishnah and the Gemara coming up. Let's start the Mishnah. Mefanam filo arba v'chamesh kupa shol teven v'shol tvua mimnei ha'orchin u'mimnei bitol beis ha'medrash. So let's say now I got a clear space. Right, we have a large room. Right now, we're using the room for storage, but it's Shabbos and we want to make room. So what you can do is you can take four or five boxes out of the room. You're basically schlepping out straw and grain. And now the straw and grain over here cannot be muksa. If it's muksa, so then you can't move them. So that point is going to be clarified right here in the Mishnah. But nevertheless, you can clear out four or five boxes. But that's it. In other words, you can't clear out more than four or five boxes. Now, that's a funny way to set a guideline. Four or five? The Gemara is going to ask that question. So in the Gemara, we're going to wonder out loud, is it four or is it five? Okay, we'll get to there in just a moment. And why can you do so? But you can only be involved in the schlepping only if there is a mitzvah consideration. Guests are coming. I need more room for the guests. We have a shear. We need more room for the shear. So what you can do is you can move out four or five boxes from the room. Anything more than that would qualify as Tircha Yisera. That would just simply be too much exertion. And the Chachamim say that's just simply too much. Now, but then the Mishnah says, but what you can't do is that you cannot, now I'm going to say right now, you can't clear the room. Okay. That's a difficult pshat in the Mishnah because there's obviously going to be a large area between four or five boxes and clearing the room. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to clarify that point. Right now, the way I read the Mishnah, the way I interpreted the Mishnah is really choppy. The Gemara is going to iron that out. Mifanim. Now, what can you take out of this room? Meaning, it has to be something It has to be something which is not a muksa item. So mefanim. So one can take out truma that is tahor, meaning kosher truma, and not only kosher truma, but tahor truma, so that the kohen can eat it. And demai, under certain circumstances, the Gemara is going to discuss this tomorrow. And demai, which can be consumed under certain circumstances, that's produce purchased from an amaretz, ma'aser rishon where truma was taken off, which means that you did what was correct. You took off the truma gedola off your ma'aser rishon, the Levi did. Ma'aser sheni v'hekdesh shniftu, and ma'aser sheni and hekdesh that was redeemed, meaning you did the right thing with it. And now it is edible, it's kosher. So basically, all these things, once corrected, are no longer muksa. Now in the mission we have the word la'azim, la'aniyim probably is the right girsa, and also this dried legume, which the poor people eat, so in other words it's edible, and therefore it's not muksa. Avalo is a tevel, but what you cannot clear the room from is tevel. Tevel is produced as untied. It's muksa. Lois Maisha Rishon Shalonitla Trumasa. When the Levi received his Maisha Rishon, he did not take off Truma Gedola as of yet. It's now muksa. It's not edible. Lois Maisha Shani Vector Shaloniftu. Maisha Shani and Hector that was not redeemed, so you can't eat it, so therefore it's muksa. Lois Aluf, Lois Achardal. Luf is another type of very difficult to eat legume. Chardal mustard. So these are not edible, and therefore they're muksa. Reshmul Bar Gamliel Mati Beluf Mimneshu Michael Orvin. Reshim and Gamliel says that the luf is in fact mutter because it can be given to the ravens. It can be fed to the ravens, so at least it is animal fodder, which you are required if the animals are owned by you and they're looking for you for food. So then you're allowed to feed them. Chavile Kashbe Chavile Etzim VeChavile Izradim Imit Kinam LaMichel BeHema Metaltanosam VeImlav Ein Metaltanosam. So you have these various straws. Which, if you set aside before Shabbos as animal food, so therefore it's not muksa, therefore you're allowed to move them. If you have not set them aside as animal food, so then they are muksa, and therefore you're not allowed to move them. Okay. And so, here we're going to pause. We're going to pick it up with the Gemara tomorrow. But in the meantime, however, let's just set ourselves up for tomorrow. So in this Mishnah, so basically we introduce ourselves to this idea of Tircha Yisera. You're not allowed to overexert on Shabbos. You have a room. You need the room. So, and you're now going to be involved in the act of schlepping. So the Mishnah says that one can schlep, but with a limit of how much you can schlep. You can only take 4 or 5 boxes out of the room. Again, when we start with the Gemara tomorrow, we're going to clarify what does that mean. Is it 4? Is it 5? Why give me 2 numbers? Give me 1 number. What you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to convert the room into an otsar. Exactly what that means, we're going to see tomorrow. And also, the items that you're schlepping has to be non-muksa items. So if it's kosher food, so then it's not muksa. If it's food that's not kosher, or if it's not edible, so that would be muksa. And by edible, we mean that it has to be either consumable by humans or consumable by animals. But even the animal fodder has to be designated before Shabbos as animal fodder. Under those circumstances, it's not muksa, and then you can schlep. And then the only issue is how much you can schlep, and that's what we're going to clarify as we start with the Gemara tomorrow in the Gemara. Okay, let's quickly recap our day today. Here in Maseches Shabbos, at the end of the 17th parak, so we dealt with one basic issue, and that is shuttering in the window. So you put a shutter in the window. So Machlokas in the Mishnah, under what circumstances you put the shutter in the window? First of all, we opened up today with a very basic issue, and that is to be Mosif al Ol Arai. To make an Ol Arai on Shabbos and on Yom Tov are going to be Usur. Even though it's temporary, and even though it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, but it's still Usur. To be Mosif, meaning that you already had the starting point of an Ohel, and now you want to add to the Ol Arai, so that's the Machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. Let's clarify. That's the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says it's Usur to be Mosif, and the Chachamim say it's Mutter to be Mosif. We touched on this morning a very fundamental Machlokas between Rashi and Rabbi Natam. That when we say that being Mosif al Arai, are we talking about the horizontal, the roof? Or are we talking even about the vertical walls? Rashi clearly articulates that we're only talking about the roof. There is no problem, says Rashi, to make the vertical walls on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. That is not Ohel. Ohel, by its very definition, is only the roof, only the top. So is the opinion of Rashi, clearly articulated on the bottom of Kuf Chaf Hamad Beis. Rabbi Natan's grandson strenuously disagrees and says that's not correct. He has a Mishnah in Erevin. He has a Gemara in Erevin that clearly indicates that. If the wall that you're making, the vertical wall that you're making, has halachic significance, like the third wall of the sukkah, that is also considered being a, that's also considered part and parcel of the Issa Rabbanan of Binyan Arai. Only the fourth wall is just Tznius Ba'alma. It's just more for more privacy. That would be fine. But the third wall would be considered Binyan, Binyan Arai. That is considered the Issa Rabbanan of building. And so, basic debate between Rabbeinu and Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. And as I mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch favors the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Pasuk like Rabbeinu Tam. And then, our big discussion today was, we know the Chachamim are more makel than Rabbi Eliezer. If the shutter, the shutter does not have to be both tied and taut like the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, how makel is the Chachamim going to be? So that we saw over the course of the Amud Aleph and Amud Beis of today, Machlokas Amarayim, how far makel are the Chachamim going to be? Where we ended up today with the Shita of Rav Kahana and the Shita of and the Tana Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and Rav Yochanan, so all are of the position that the Chachamim do not require to be tied at all. If the shutter or the bolt, as long as it was designated before Shabbos as being the shutter or the bolt, so then the Chachamim would allow you to put it in. So it doesn't need to be kasher, doesn't need to be talui, as long as you are miyachated as the shutter or the bolt, so then you're allowed to put it in. That was the conclusion of the Gemara, although we spent a lot of time with it because not everyone's in agreement with that position, but that's the Gemara's conclusion. We talked about the lids of the pot. Do they have to have a handle? If it's a lid to a regular pot, the answer is no. If it's a lid that's put over the ground, the answer is yes. If it is, then there's a machlokas in the Mishnah of something of somewhere in the middle. Was that somewhere in the middle? So the Gemara gave us two versions of what that somewhere in the middle is. Version number one is where basically I inserted the pot into the ground and I cemented it into the ground. So under those circumstances, the question of whether or not the Chachamim made a gzera that the lid has to have a handle or does not have to have a handle. The other way we said it is that we're talking about a lid to the oven. The oven is a little bit more ground-like. We spoke about this in yesterday's daf, how the oven is really in generally cemented into the ground. So the oven is a little bit more ground-like. So under those circumstances, so do the lids of the oven have to have a handle? That is the second way we said over the machlokas. And we pointed out in yesterday's daf, the Gemara already concluded in yesterday's daf, that the lid of an oven does not need to have a handle. That was the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And we opened up this morning the 18th parak of Masechet Shabbos. And we spoke about Tircha Yisera. You're not allowed to overexert on Shabbos. And the Chachamim gave basic guidelines, halachos, in terms of what does it mean you're not allowed to schlep? So right now we just started, so we don't really fully understand. But the basic idea is that if you want to make room on Shabbos because you have guests coming or because you want more room in the base medrash, so you could schlep, but only four or five boxes, not more than four or five boxes. You can't make a notzar. Right now we don't fully understand that. We'll get better understanding of that tomorrow. And as long as that which you're schlepping out of the room is non-muksa items. And the Mishnah went through in detail what are considered non-muksa items. We'll stop over here.